is in the epistle written by Paul to Philemon. It's a little epistle of one chapter, as most of you know, and this is our second lesson from this epistle. And still I want to read the epistle to you by way of introduction. The epistle of Paul the Apostle to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy our brother, to Philemon our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphiae, the Archippus our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that in your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might be not by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. If he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say, but meanwhile also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us again the reading of that wonderful little epistle. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we come to Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ very humbly, because we realize that we also were like Onesimus. We had wronged the Master. We also were running away, not from an earthly Master, but running away from Thee, the living God. We thank Thee for the grace that sought us. We thank Thee, O God, for the love that reached us. We praise Thee, O God, for the salvation provided in the person of Thy beloved Son. So we pray that as we study Thy Word together, our hearts shall be enriched, that we all shall be encouraged. Hear us in these things for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, in our first study, we dealt with the introduction to the epistle and also with the opening verses giving to us that little greeting. We completed the greeting dealing with grace and peace. So there was the salutation in the first two verses and the greeting in verse 3. Now, our lesson today will take us from verse 4 through verse 7. Here I suggest we have Paul's expression of appreciation for Philemon. It's very noticeable then that before Paul strikes the vital chord of appeal on behalf of Onesimus, and let us always keep that in mind, that is the objective for Paul writing this letter. He's sending it back by the hand of Onesimus. This man was the runaway slave. He had wronged his master. He has been converted in the city of Rome, but in order to keep the law, he's being sent back to his master Philemon. He's carrying this beautiful letter with him. Then the objective is that Philemon is to receive Onesimus, forgive him, welcome him, not now as a returning slave, but welcome him back as a brother in the Lord. That is going to take an awful lot of grace. But nevertheless, if he is properly received in the Spirit of Christ, there will be peace in that home. But now, before that Paul strikes this vital chord of appeal on behalf of Onesimus, in the verses we're reading now, he is expressing his praise in appreciation for Philemon. This evidently is a sincere evaluation of the spiritual character of Philemon and suggests that Paul had confidence in him as a Christian gentleman. It is also clear from the reading of this letter that Paul was personally acquainted with Philemon. They were friends. They knew each other on Christian grounds. Paul had been the recipient of kindness from this man. The two of them recognized each other and prayed for one another. And so Paul is mindful of these things, and right here in these verses before us today, verses 4 through 7, Paul then is giving his evaluation of the spiritual character of Philemon and expressing his confidence in him. But he's doing it in a very, very spiritual manner. First of all, we have thanksgivings here, and then the thanksgivings leads to supplication. That is, you're finding Paul here in prayer, so that before ever he mentions the fact of Philemon's prayers for him, he mentions now his prayers for Philemon. Now, in praying for Philemon, he says here, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. And you'll notice here that thanksgiving and prayer are closely linked together. And after all, they should remain like that. Wherever there is prayer, there should be thanksgiving. We should make our requests known with thanksgivings. On one occasion, there were 10 men who were blessed by the Lord. And when they were on their way and discovered they had been blessed of the Lord, one of them turned back and with a loud voice was giving thanks and giving all the glory to God. And the Lord said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Now, of the 10 men that were cleansed, only one came back to give thanks. Let us bow to this today. It is one of the things, perhaps, of which we have been guilty, of refusing to give thanks. Let me mention this like this. Perhaps, like me, some of you who are listening to me now were brought up in a family where you learned it early in life that the custom was that when you sat round the table to partake of the food that was provided, that before ever you commenced the meal, every head was bowed and thanks offered for the provision that was made. God was acknowledged as the giver of every good and every perfect gift. Now, I grew up that way, and I learned to give thanks. Not only so, I was taught this, that when I received anything, I had to say, thank you. So that you learn early in life to give thanks. But now, what about the spiritual things? If it's right to give thanks to people who show us kindness, and that's why you send your little thank you cards, isn't it also right that we should give thanks to God for His kindness? And so when we go before God our Father to present our petitions to Him, our prayers, we should also do this with thanksgiving. We should remember to give thanks for prayers already answered, for kindnesses already received, for things that God has bestowed upon us, we should be giving thanks. But then, it's one thing to give thanks for what you have received. Have you ever thought of giving thanks for others? Now watch what Paul is saying here. There is a matter here of praise, and it's praise for love and faith. He says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Now watch very carefully. Paul is in prison at this time. Now get the picture of the man in the jail, in prison, yet he finds time to pray. And in his prayer, he's not crying to God for his release all the time, and he's not complaining. What he's doing here, he's giving thanks to God. Can you think of a man in prison being able to think of things for which he can give thanks? Well now, this man, Paul, finds time to give thanks. And he's giving thanks to God for other people. Every time he thought of his friend Philemon, he must have had him, as it were, on what we call his prayer list. Philemon was one of the men for whom the apostle prayed. And so he said, when I'm engaging in prayer, I start off with thanksgiving. I am thanking my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Now watch the things for which the great apostle could give thanks. First of all, he gives thanks for Philemon's love life. Notice he says the love is toward all the saints. Hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Notice, first of all then, there's love and faith. And that faith is toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And that love is toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Love is toward also all the saints. The man who has love for the Lord Jesus Christ pulsating in his heart will not find it difficult to express that love to other Christians, who are fellow members, of course, you remember, of the same body, members of the same community, in the same fellowship. And so if we can say we love the Lord, we should love those that the Lord loves. Now, this is not the love of natural affection, of course. This is the love of divine principle. This is the love that has been shed abroad in the heart of the Christian by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Take note, of course, to whom Paul gave thanks. I thank my God. You'll see, it's when he's on his knees, he's giving thanks to God. He's able to pray to God and give thanks to God and mention the name of Philemon and thank God for this Christian gentleman, this Christian brother called Philemon. Note also when he gave thanks. He says, I thank my God, making mention of you always. It wasn't just something that he did occasionally. Every time that he was mentioning Philemon in his prayers, he could give thanks. He never ceased to give thanks to God for the very memory of this man, and also for what he had heard. Note why he gave thanks. He's thanking God. He's thanking God always when he was in prayer. And he's thanking God for this reason. For Philemon's faith and love. Faith, you'll notice, is toward the Lord Jesus. This faith had a starting point at the time of conversion. But it is toward the Lord Jesus, which means He is ever reaching out toward him. It's not simply a matter of saying, Philemon, you made a confession on such and such a day, and that was your faith. That was only the starting point. See, Philemon's faith is fixed in the very center, and that center is the Lord Jesus. But love is the circumference and embraces all the saints. It goes out to them all. I thank my God making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. The Lord Jesus Christ, while he was here on earth, told his disciples on one occasion that there was one way by which everybody would know that they were his disciples. That would not be manifested by the name that would take. You can say what you like, my friend. You can take whatever name you like. You can put whatever name you prefer on your notice board in front of your church or chapel. That will not convince any person. But the Lord Jesus Christ gave us a non-failing principle. He said, By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Now that's not that sentimental emotionalism. That love there, again I remind you, is the divine principle. It's that divine love which is shed abroad in your heart by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so this man Philemon has his faith fixed in the very center. I've indicated that center is the Lord Jesus. For he says, I hear of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You see, Paul is thanking God here for this man's life. Not only for the fact there was a starting point in his Christian career, and it's obvious from the reading of this letter that it was Paul who was instrumental in leading this man to a saving knowledge of the truth. But at the same time, he is very, very thankful for the fact that the man continues to go on and to demonstrate these Christian principles in his life. But now there's a matter of supplication. While he's praying that the sharing of your faith may become effective. In plain words, Paul not only is thanking God for what is past, and thanking God for what is present in this man's life, but he's praying now that there may be a development of things in his life. Now look at the matter of this prayer. Praying that the fellowship of Philemon's faith may become effective. I wonder, what is the thought then of the fellowship of his faith? That the sharing of your faith may become effective. You see, he's praying here then that Philemon's faith may not only be something surrounding Philemon himself, but maybe others who will be having fellowship with him in this, that it will be effective in sharing it with others, that others will see this demonstrated in the life of Philemon, and they also will be, as it were, sharing this same faith, emulating the very life that he's living, and together, because he has said, the church in your house. So he wants this man's life to have an effect on the others who seem to be under, as it were, his care. And so Paul is praying for him, that there may be such a thing as the sharing of this faith, the fellowship of this faith, and that may become effective. He goes on a little further. Sets before us perhaps the means by which this is accomplished, that Philemon may go on to attain to the perfect knowledge. Hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. So therefore, he wants Philemon now to go on to attain to the perfect knowledge. And the means by which this is accomplished, you can see very well, is in Christ Jesus. But now, what is the motive that will encourage him? There is to be the activity of faith. And this activity of faith should be motivated by the end results of bringing glory to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's all the time it's centered in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, this prayer begins and ends on a note of praise. It's praise for the love of Philemon. Notice how he says, hearing of your love. Then when he comes to verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in your love. So that it starts on this note of praise for Philemon's love, and it concludes on this note of praise for Philemon's love. We have great joy and consolation in your love. Now, Philemon had a home where he welcomed the weary travelers, gave them rest and refreshment on their pilgrimage. And for this, he is highly commended. Now, you'll find if you read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, you'll find that a Christian there came to a home where he was refreshed, where travelers were made welcome. Now, here is another man, this man Philemon. Now, I've indicated already he must have had a fairly large home, for the church could meet in that home. It's obvious that Paul had been there, and Paul knew something about it. Paul had been the means of leading this man to faith in Christ, and he knew something about the man's home and the hospitality the man could show, because later on in the letter he's mentioning that he hopes to come and visit with him. However, here is a man whose home had an open door. He was a man who could bring others into his house. He could welcome the weary travelers. He could show them hospitality. He could refresh God's people. Oh, for this cause, says the great apostle, that brings me great joy. Now remember, at this time when he's writing this letter, there is with him this man, Onesimus, who is going to carry the letter back. This man had worked in the home. I suggest to you that he also had come under the influence of his Christian master. And after he had wronged him and ran away to Rome, and he came into contact with Paul and was converted, he's able to give Paul the record of what this man's testimony was like. And so therefore, he's taking back, as it were, not only the letter, but he's going back and knowing that Paul has been praying for this man. And so therefore, Paul has learned from others how Philemon is going on, but Paul is praying that there may be a continuation and a growing, as it were, of these graces in the life of Philemon, thanking God for his love and for his faith. That is, for his testimony towards God, for the expression of his love towards the Lord Jesus, and for his expression of faith and love, and his encouragement that he brings to other Christians. You see how then, in this little part, that Paul, as it were, gives a sincere evaluation of the spiritual character of Philemon, suggesting, as it were, that Paul has absolute confidence in the man. He treats him as a Christian gentleman, and then he's going to introduce the main issue of his letter and make his appeal for the runaway slave.